flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for joining us on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Why are we inside? It says it's 42 and
42
sunny.
42 degrees? That's not a nice day.
42, it's nicer than 42, plus it's sunny.
Nice. Well, it's nice to look at.
42 feels like the very first moment of spring after you've had like 10 degree weather. And isn't it supposed to ice tomorrow or something?
Oh, I haven't heard. I thought this weekend maybe, but I haven't heard tomorrow.
I think I saw it was supposed to start Wednesday.
Well, I think it's supposed to warm up enough. I'm hoping we don't have that issue. I'll give you this. The snow is gone. The ice and everything is finally gone.
Thank you for giving me that.
You're welcome.
That was very kind of you.
I'm just kind of a giving guy.
You know, you're getting one step closer to being an old man when you're like giving those weather tips. Do you have a weather station?
We are the weather station.
No, we're not.
Dave Murray. Yeah.
He is the weather station. Do you have a weather station?
No.
Does
anybody?
Brad, do you have a weather station at your house before we go too hard into this?
No, I don't have a weather station.
I bet you Ethan does.
No, he does not.
I look forward to this day. I am honestly, genuinely looking forward to the day where my concern is how much rain we got and what kind of birds I have in my backyard.
I'm just surprised that we're there. It's not that warm. Are the birds actually chirping?
I'm talking about in life, like when I'm 65.
Oh, okay.
Not this week.
Not today.
Not in the 5-day forecast. I'm talking in the 50-year forecast.
Okay.
You know, when you can talk about birds with people?
No.
You don't know that?
I know that. I'm not looking forward to that.
Okay, let's out your parents. Because my parents are like the nerds.
Okay.
In this regard, especially mom. She retired, became a master gardener, and then became a master naturalist or something like that. But she tells you the Latin names of the birds. I'm like, that one's orange, and that's one's special. And okay. I've seen them also in Baltimore. Do your parents do the bird thing?
No.
No?
No.
I bet they do, and they've kept it from you.
If they do, I haven't heard any of it.
I bet they have a little shame. And not like my parents. My parents have no shame.
My mom does love working in the yard more than she used to. So,
she still work?
No,
she just work. Your dad retired too.
Yeah.
Do they do a lot of yard work?
Given the right climate, yes. I don't think they're doing a lot right now.
Did they nerd out in retirement on anything in particular?
I don't know. I can't say there's anything in particular that they really went full in on. Although my mom does love doing yard work, and she does some volunteer work and stuff now. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Can you imagine in your retirement being like, I think I'd like to be president again?
No, I can't imagine.
And then being like, gosh, how long do I have? 4 weeks, yeah, I think I can fix it in that amount of time.
I see where you're going now.
I can't believe how much stuff he's getting done, and I just can't help. Somebody has to say the name Joe Biden for me to remember that he existed.
There was a story about him today, and I forgot that he existed until they said he just signed with a talent agency. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I heard them reporting that on Fox News, and it's like, who's that agency? If you are a client of that agency, are you going, really? This is not good for my brand.
No, if I'm a client of that agency, I'm going, what's the next Biden movie? I want to be the co-star. Like, he's going to be the next transporter. That was for Brad, apparently.
Get in, Jack. Throws his aviators on, drives 15 miles an hour down the road with his left turn signal on.
We're having a good time over here.
You guys seem to appreciate each other right now, and so I feel like the people listening probably do too.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't get it doesn't mean it shouldn't be appreciated.
The Transporter 4, Joe Biden. That's the name of the movie.
You got to slur it a little bit, though.
Okay.
Is Transporter a movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there anything that Donald Trump is doing right now that surprises you? Because it feels like what he did the first time, but he's not. I mean, maybe this is what it is. The left is trying very hard to sling arrows at him. The left is working very, very, very diligently to try to pull him down and to smear him and disparage him. But Chuck Schumer going up there with a Corona Light and an avocado just isn't cutting it like it used to.
That was dated within an hour of him doing it.
He probably did more for selling avocados and Corona Light by putting that out there. You go home and you're like, yeah, guac does sound good. Come to think of it, we had tacos last night. No guac, though. I don't know if my husband was like protesting. Somebody's
going to
go up to him and be like, so guacamole,
he's
huh?
He's trying to bring Corona back. it's a bold play.
Chuck Schumer just didn't know which one. I mean, there isn't the criticisms that are out there for Donald Trump. They're the same criticisms that the left has been throwing at him. And people are like, okay, you know, it's like very head patty. All right now, just do what you got to do.
It's so fast. The things that he's doing. By the time we get to Friday, we will have forgotten what happened on Monday because it'll be a whole new list of things that he's working
on. That happens on the daily to the point where I am sitting here going, okay, morning news. I usually check in the 6 a.m. hour just to be like, did any countries blow up over the nighttime? Any major catastrophes happen? Just check, make sure I don't have any major news alerts. And then I'll revisit basically hourly until I start watching Fox News in the morning. And that 6 hours of time from 6 a.m. to noon is, there's a lot. Joe Biden wouldn't make appearances for days. And if you look at his schedule, which I get now, apparently I got on a list somehow. I'm on a lot of lists. I mean, he's doing so much all day. It's not even just like in the work day, so to speak. He's working top to bottom to make sure that all of these things that he said he could do. One of the things that is funny to me is he sits there and he signs these executive orders. The press pool is all in front of him. They're asking questions like, don't you think that this is going to get turned over in the courts? And sometimes he'll be like, I don't know, maybe. And I'm like, okay, why not try? Here's something else. This is the main point. That is starting to actually, I've been enjoying winning so much that I'm like, nothing, don't let anything under your skin here. If the left is lefting, let them do that. They're doing it in the loser's bracket. So whine away. But basically all 4 years of Joe Biden's presidency and 8 years of Barack Obama's presidency, we were subjected to What would you say was the prevailing broad issue of the left in the last 15 to 20 years that kind of oversaw everything? I don't want to set you up to fail here.
I mean, I'm thinking of specific legislation like Obamacare, but I don't think that's what you're going for.
Bigger than that. Broader than that. It affects everything. Climate change.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's in everything. It used to be global warming, and they're like, oh, but it's cooling. They're like, okay, so it's changing. Is it going to change forever? Yes, we'll call it that. Climate change. Climate change is in everything. How long have we been, as taxpayers, as voters, as citizens, told you're going to have to pay a little more for certain things because it's good for the environment? That's been an accepted policy by the left, who has been telling you what kind of stove you can use, what kind of waterhead you can use in your shower, what kind of toilet you can use, what kind of car you can use, how frequently you can travel via this mechanism or that mechanism. They've been micromanaging every inch of your life for going on 20 years right now. And in doing so, you have been told it's to save the planet. It's to save the future of our humanity and to save the world. Hooray. And now you see Donald Trump in a day get concessions from both of our neighboring countries by imposing tariffs on them that, like, if you were, I mean, the tariffs, you need to employ them in, like, time zones, because by the time you get to the afternoon, they're already off again because Mexico's been like, let's just work on this. Let's talk about this. Let's see what we can do about this. I think we got some troops we can send to the southern border, our northern border, to help you out. Same thing. Justin Trudeau is peacocking all over the place in Canada yesterday, and by the end of the day, he's like, I think we can help. Can we wait a minute? Did Donald Trump know at the beginning of the day that if he threatened to split the baby, that the baby would be fine by the end of the day? I think he did. And honestly, it's not a secret. He's been telling us this the entire time throughout the campaign, that it's a bargaining chip. And we said this yesterday, and I will repeat this again. Was it Kayleigh McEnany brought this up as well? The tariff isn't the end. It's a means to an end. And if Canada or Mexico or any of these other countries want to be so stupid as to say, no, we'll just stop with the tariffs. Okay, let's go. Donald Trump will follow through on that. But he uses the tariff to get to the end that he wants and needs. And he's not there yet with this. He's a month away from doing the song and dance once again. But he's effective. Donald Trump has even said, I heard yesterday Marie Harf on Outnumbered. And she was just losing her mind by, everything's going to cost more. You just wait and see. That's what she kept saying. You just wait and see. You just wait and see. Things are going to cost more. Brian Kilmeade was super annoyed with it. If you haven't gone
back. Thank you.
Yes, go back and watch Brian Kilmeade. I didn't watch him. I listened to him in the car on the way in here. But it was like, he was, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he was offended by the ignorance. I'm going to put it that way.
Good.
Yeah. The freak out from the left, with 3 weeks of being in office, of the cost of goods going up? You freaking care about this right now? Because you put us in this position for the last 4 years, and you didn't care because you told us that your reason for making things cost so much was a righteous cause. But now it doesn't matter how we get to higher prices, because Donald Trump said himself, listen, some things might cost a little bit more for a minute. That it might be very, very short-term pains. Donald Trump has said that. But the means to an end to keep fentanyl from flowing into your child's bedroom in a suburban area somewhere in this country, to keep the bad guys from coming across the southern border or the northern border unchecked, to make our communities safer, to make American jobs more valuable, to make American products more valuable, to make other countries respect us, not just to our face, but also behind the scenes when they have to treat us with the respect, not just say they respect us. They have to show the respect that we deserve as the predominant economy in the world. The other side of that hill, you can actually see what that looks like versus climate change that we've been asked to spend more money on because it provides you some virtuous bologna sausage that you can share with everybody and put stickers on your car and signs in your yard. There's no other side of climate change. There's no other side of that. But there's so much money being made, but not by you. You're funding it, and people are getting rich off of it, and you're told that your participation in the process, what do you get for paying more? You get to feel good about yourself, and that should be enough. That's such crap. It's such total crap. You've been told this entire far-left progressive movement that climate change is the religion by which you must worship at the altar of government, and you have for a while maybe even been quiet about it and become less quiet and more annoyed by it. The stupid light bulbs that you have to put in your house that don't light up rooms. I mean, it's all these little things, and you've done it because you've had to do it. But it turns out you don't have to do it because there's somebody else in the Oval Office right now who understands reality and is completely unafraid of it. He deals in reality, and if you're soft, it hurts, but that's okay. You'll toughen up and you'll be better for it. This country will be better for it. I'm waiting for him to put tariffs on something that actually gets back around to us. It's possible it might happen. But when you see Donald Trump out there talking about tariffs and you watch the left lose their ever-loving minds simply because the cost of goods might go up or they are guaranteeing that it is, they do not care about that. They only care about the political collateral that they get out of the price of goods going up because then they want to pin that to a Republican. The only thing that matters when it comes to the price of goods going up is whether or not a Republican is to blame or not for it. That's the only thing they care about. And in fact, they'd cheer for prices to go up if they could pin it on a Republican. They don't give a crap about you. And we know it because they've been hypocrites about it, because they've been raising the cost of everything. Everything costs so much more right now. And it all starts, again, with energy, which they either don't understand or they're willing to ignore. It really doesn't make a difference, the reason for it, because the end is the same. Everything costs more. If they actually cared about that, if they actually cared about that bottom line that you and I have to pay, they wouldn't have managed the economy the way they did while they had the opportunity to control it. The climate change has been the permission slip for them to rise the cost of everything. And we were supposed to be good students of theirs and feel very good about ourselves while we did it. Now you got a guy in charge who's willing to say, yeah, the cost of that might go up, but here's the reason why. And he's protecting our country. And it's going to be a little painful because they screwed it up so much. But it's good that Joe Biden has a talent agent now. That makes me feel better.
You know, the difference in this time around versus Trump 1.0 is that they're doing the same tactics, same things. They're screaming the same stuff. But the first time, they thought, you know what? We're going to be the resistance. We're going to fight. And they were united. This time, they're doing the same thing, saying the same stuff. But they're also publicly going, what are we doing? We're losing. Why do we not have a part? What is our point? They're openly asking that question because they know they've lost.
It's going to be fun to keep watching. Well, we've got a lot of confirmations that are going to be happening here in the next week or two. We've got very important committee votes that have taken place in the Senate. We're going to get an update from our friend Ryan Schmelz on the other side of this quick break here. He's the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. And Ryan Schmelz is going to update us on the current state of Donald Trump's cabinet, those approvals. Ryan Schmelz next on The Andy Fry Show. Scared
to die. We ain't. Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel really good about all of his nominees, that they're all intelligent, they're articulate, they're unflappable. As I said, they're fighters. That came out very well in the confirmation hearings. And I think most Republican senators take the attitude I do that President Trump won a convincing victory. He deserves to staff the administration with people he wants in those positions. And unless there's some disqualifying aspect of their background, our job is to make sure that we vote to confirm those people so he can really, again, swiftly and decisively act to honor the promises he made to the American public.
That's my favorite senator's name to say. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin there talking about how Donald Trump should get his nominees confirmed. And there has to be, we were just discussing in the last segment how the mount of information that is flooding out towards us every day to cover. I assure you that Ryan Schmelz is on top of all of the things that are coming out of Capitol Hill, because there's quite a lot to cover as well. And he joins us now. He's Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Ryan Schmelz, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Good to have you here.
Always great to be on, Annie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We are excited to watch all of the news in progress, but you know, it's a hurry up and wait thing, it seems like, on Capitol Hill, probably all of the time. Where are we right now with Donald Trump's cabinet nominations?
Right. So actually, Doug Collins for VA Secretary just got confirmed a few minutes ago officially. The vote took a while, but you know, it was a bipartisan vote, not exactly somebody we were expecting to have too many hurdles in getting confirmed. So that is now out of the way. We're on to Pam Bondi, likely later tonight, expecting her to get confirmed. But it probably will be probably a little bit more on party lines than Doug Collins was. But of course, the big news today, Annie, was that you saw Robert Kennedy Jr. getting voted out of committee. We were all watching for Senator Bill Cassidy, obviously not the biggest Trump fan, somebody who supported the second impeachment of Donald Trump. He had serious concerns with Robert Kennedy Jr.'s past statements on vaccines, but ultimately he got to yes. And a lot of that was thanks to a number of concessions that he was able to get from RFK related to not changing the CDC guidance or taking any information off the CDC website that claim that vaccines do not cause autism. They're going to be speaking every month on multiple times. And also, Cassidy is going to have input in hiring decisions made at HHS going forward. So this was a pretty good deal for Cassidy, it looks like, and one of the reasons why he got to yes on RFK Jr. But I think the big thing that we're starting to learn here, Annie, is that J.D. Vance is playing a pivotal role in getting some of these weary senators on board with President Trump's nominees, not just Cassidy, but also J.D. Vance served as kind of a liaison between Senator Todd Young and Tulsi Gabbard, who was kind of the last Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee who was weary on Gabbard's nomination. But after a number of discussions, Young was able to get enough assurances that he's going to support her nomination later when she goes before the Senate Intelligence Committee, and they vote that out of the committee later.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz, reporting from Capitol Hill, Fox News Radio's Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. How much of this negotiation involves Democrats? Because they don't need to participate to vote. They could all vote against all of the nominees, and if the Republicans are together, then they're going to get confirmed. Are Democrats playing a role? Are there any specific Democrats in the Senate who are trying to be a part of this process to be included in a possible confirmation vote?
Now, where the Democrats kind of play in here in terms of negotiating is usually with a time agreement, as in when they have the official votes on these nominees. But in terms of Democrats working to confirm some nominees alongside with Republicans, if there's any of that going on, I haven't really heard of it. Pretty much President Trump and his team are trying to wrangle the current senators that they have on the Republican side. There's 53 of them. They only need 50 of them to get anybody confirmed. So that's kind of where the negotiations are going on, is trying to work with the senators who may have issues with a nominee, whether it's Tulsi Gabbard, whether it's RFK Jr., and just trying to get them to yes. And all they have to do is get 50 of them to yes, and they're good to go.
Hey, Ryan Schmelz, this is Ryan Wiggins. Why does it take so long for once they get out of committee, once RFK, Tulsi, they get out of committee, why does it take so long to confirm them? Are Democrats holding this process up?
There's a lot of procedural hurdles that you have to go through with the Senate. There's a lot of procedural votes, like words like cloture, which I could probably put your listeners to sleep explaining. But yes, and Democrats do have the ability to block some of these nominees, delay some of these nominees, and stop some of these nominees. And John Thune has gone to the Senate floor and said, hey, if you're going to make this hard, we can do it the hard way, which is we'll just wait you out and vote, you know, eventually when our time's up. But there are some procedural hurdles when it could take up to 30 hours in between votes. And that in many ways is delaying some of these nominees. But one thing that Thune has made very clear is that they're kind of on the same pace that Barack Obama was when he first got into office and he was confirming many of his nominees. It might not be the same pace as President Biden or the first Trump administration, but he's kind of used the Obama metric to kind of pace how they're going so far.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz from Capitol Hill, and there's always plenty to cover. And I think a lot of the attention is over there on the Senate as we move through these confirmation votes. But also, I'm reading here from a Fox News report from the House of Representatives. House delays key vote on Trump budget bill after conservative fury over spending cuts. And it indicates that the House Freedom Caucus members are pushing for deeper spending cuts. What can you tell us about this the slimmest of majorities of Republicans in the House and their ability to get, you know, the impossible done here?
Well, there's going to be two key pieces of legislation that are going to happen within the next couple of, I would say, weeks, probably. Number one, you have one that has a hard deadline. That's the government funding deadline in mid-March. So there has to be some type of agreement there. Currently, negotiators, whether it's the House and Senate and leadership in both parties, are trying to work on a top line spending number. I think there's an anticipation that the Freedom Caucus is not going to like whatever that top line spending number is. So the next process is the reconciliation bill, which is the one big, beautiful bill you hear President Trump talk about. It's supposed to have a lot of his priorities like border, energy, as well as taxes. But a lot of conservative Republicans have put their foot in the ground and said, we need to have spending reforms or spending cuts that are involved here or offsets if we're going to spend more money. And it just looks like the current plan that they've been leaning towards, you know, in the last couple of days just isn't good enough for the Freedom Caucus. So they're kind of ordering them to go back to the drawing board and find a way to reduce spending. So could that be where the Department of Government Efficiency comes in and kind of the caucuses and committees that they've established this Congress? You know, we don't know that just yet, but yes, there's going to be a huge, you know, challenge here in getting everybody on board, especially when you can only afford to lose one or two votes any given vote cycle. So this is going to be a challenge for Speaker Johnson.
Ryan, do you expect that challenge back and forth to predominantly take place behind closed doors? Is it going to spill out into the public where we're going to hear, okay, this guy from the Freedom Caucus and Mike Johnson over here is a speaker? Are we going to see this fight out in the open? Are they going to keep it behind closed doors?
Well, the one thing I've learned about the House being here is that there are a lot of closed door meetings, and a lot of the dirty laundry in those closed door meetings make it out into the public. So I think they'll try to keep it behind closed doors as much as possible. But I'm sure there's going to be plenty of leaks and plenty of information that gets put out there from what happens in those meetings. But Johnson quite often brings a lot of people into his office from different caucuses of the Republican conference, and they try to have these negotiations and try to hash these things out. You know, they were successful in doing that when they negotiated the new motion to vacate threshold and also negotiated with some of the holdouts on Speaker Johnson's nomination. So it can be done. But when you're talking about a bill this size with that's this bold, it's going to be a challenge.
You kind of touched on this as well. We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz with Fox News Radio from Capitol Hill. You mentioned the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. How does the House of Representatives, under the encouragement, of course, Donald Trump and his vision for getting spending completely reined in, how does it work with this kind of new entity, this new agency that has been formed under Elon Musk? How do those two groups, the representatives that we voted for, we sent to represent us and have the say on how to vote, how do they work together or against DOGE?
Yeah. So I think we're still trying to figure that out because DOGE is not an official government agency yet. And it probably would have to be established through Congress to be official. But in many ways, it can still kind of serve, it looks like, in some type of advisory role where, you know, they make recommendations to the House and they write legislation. So what we know right now is that the DOGE caucus in the House has established these different working groups that go through each part of the federal government, and they find ways that they can either find waste or make the government more efficient. And their goal, from what I've been told, is by the end of the year, each one wants to have at least one piece of legislation that they're introducing this Congress that will address either government efficiency or government waste. So what that's going to look like, obviously, it's still too early, but could some of these bills make it into the reconciliation package? That could go a long way in satisfying the Freedom Caucus and their mission to cut spending or rein in spending. But I think it's just still, we don't know what those details are going to look like.
Well, Ryan Schmelz from Capitol Hill, we really appreciate these insights. There's so much happening, and we know that you're covering it minute by minute. So we're going to have you back again next week. Ryan, thank you for being with us today. It's great to talk to you again.
Hey, thanks, Annie. Looking forward to it again. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Ryan Schmelz is the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. We discussed the possibility of bringing him back regularly. I really like the idea of having him on. We're usually going to have him on Mondays or Tuesdays. Just kind of depends on his schedule and our schedule as it lines up. But there's a lot going to be happening with this administration, and it's nice to compare it to what we had before. Like, there's this kind of drum of, you just kind of accepted malaise and this drudge of nothing happening in Capitol Hill. And if you have a Republican majority in the House and a Senate Democrat majority, of course, Biden being the president, you don't really expect a whole lot to get done. And a lot of it is just posturing. The Republicans passed H.R. 2 and they're like, we're going to secure the border. And you're like, no, you're not. The Senate's never going to vote for that. So it just kind of comes to a standstill. There's really just nothing. That's not going to be the case. At least for 2 years, that's not going to be the case. And if you've looked at the numbers of 2026 voter support for either party, I just saw some numbers yesterday. I should pull them up and report on them specifically in this show. But overwhelmingly, people are still flocking to the Republican Party. And if in 2026, can you imagine in 2026 the potential for Donald Trump to have a stronger majority?
Man,
oh boy.
I'll believe that when I see it just based on historical trends. But man, yeah. You're right. The numbers of people registering in key states especially is overwhelmingly Republican.
Scott Pressler's going ham in New Jersey. And
yeah.
He keeps posting about the success they're having there. Pennsylvania continues to push Republican. It's not like they got to the November 2024 election and stopped. They continue on that path. This is why, you know, the people who hate the policies of Republicans, of conservatives, constitutionalists, the people who hate that idea and are steeped in far left progressivism. And I don't say that as an insult. If you're hearing that and that sounds like an insult to you, I'm just saying if somebody said that I was for far left progressive, I would feel insulted by that because I think the policies are terrible. But if you're somebody who truly, if you are a hard on your sleeve liberal and the DEI stuff is super important to you because you think that's the only way that people of different colors or walks of life or religions or whatever can be included, I would challenge that at its very, very core, that that's not actually true at all. But if you're one of those people who feels that way and you're strongly feeling about it, you're looking at what's going on right now and you feel like the world's crumbling around you. I know people like that, and I love people. There are people in my life who I love dearly who are terrified, they're horrified about what's happening in our country right now. And I'm sitting here and I feel like I feel like I know something that they don't know. And do I want to share it with them? Yes. If I shared it with them, would they hear me? No. That's why when Donald Trump is doing the things right now that he's doing, you see so many people saying, I voted for this. We have strong, deep-rooted, principled differences about what America looks like at its best. I don't think it's hard to point to the last 4 years and say, that's not the best. That's not the best we can do, not even close. So when Donald Trump is doing these things, and it's happening so very quickly, and you've got Kash Patels that are probably going to be confirmed. You've got a Pete Hegseth that was confirmed. You've got, RFK Jr., a Democrat. Tulsi Gabbard, a former Democrat representative in the House who ran for president as a Democrat and was put in the cabinet, nominated to be in the cabinet by Republican Donald Trump. And none of it makes sense. A lot of these people are just going to have to wait and see. And they don't have another choice. You can publicly panic, you can flail, you can cry. I don't enjoy watching that happen with real people. If you're Joy Reid, it's hilarious.
Oh yeah, if it's The View, I'm watching.
If it's The View, I'm like, I will make this appointment television. I want to see this happen in real time. Because those people are the deceivers. Those
right.
people are getting rich off of deceiving real, innocent, heart-centered people who have a foundation that is different than mine, and a perspective that is different than mine. And I respect the fact that we don't all come from the same place, so we see things differently. But there are deceivers out there right now who are losing their ever-loving mind. And if you're a compensated deceiver and you're melting down, that's just really funny. I'm not sad about that at all.
If you're on the left and you have, without even realizing it, made government essentially your religion, you would never put it that way, but that's what it is. This is your life philosophy being destroyed in front of your eyes. People are losing it. That's how it looks.
So when Donald Trump is doing the things he's doing at the rapid pace he's doing them, he has a finite amount of time to prove it. Mm-hmm. That's where we are. We're in the prove it time frame of this past campaign. He won. People can't believe it. So I encourage you, those relationships that you have in your life that are divided by politics, and if they look at you right now and they can't believe that you would support, you know, children being ripped from their families and sent to a foreign country that they've never lived in, I mean, that's the worst case scenario. What's happening right now is criminals are being ripped from the communities that they stole into. The details are different. I'm also saying that there are going to be people who are going to be removed from this country who are good people. But they came here for the wrong reasons. And that's just the state we're in right now because the Biden administration encouraged this chaos. Now, we can point fingers and blame and do that. I don't know at the end of that if anybody's mind is going to be changed or if anything's going to be better for it. But we have to rely on Donald Trump, if we voted for him, to do what he said that he was going to do. It's amazing to watch the people on the left right now say, like when they're watching Donald Trump do all these things, the right is saying, I voted for this. That's if you go on X, it will not take you long to see somebody who just tweeted, I voted for this. And the people on the far left are saying to others out there, we told you this was going to happen. So did Donald Trump. And the people on the left who are trying to convince people, we said this was going to happen, we said that this is what he was going to do, have not yet figured out that other people were able to figure out for themselves with their own brain cells that Donald Trump was telling us what he was going to do. And we're like, check the Donald Trump box because of it. The American people are able to think for themselves, for in large part, make decisions for themselves, live in reality, and they voted for it. I voted for this, that's for sure. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Weekends America, of course, the place that you go to find the signs that you're too polite.
This is inspired by Donald Trump.
Signs he's too polite?
Signs you're too polite.
All right. Where's this from? Career Addict?
This is from all over the place.
Is this just your personal opinion?
That's actually from Reader's Digest.
We'll be right back. I love that song.
I'm glad you love that
song.
Is that Linkin Park?
Year basketball season.
Tried
so hard. I could probably sing like that right now because I'm all like...
Fun fact, I have had frosted tips for about a year, but I always wear hats, so you don't know. These are...
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No. You're gonna, no?
No, nothing no. Okay. To say here.
All right. These are signs you're too polite.
Did you see what I just did there?
I do see.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see? Did you do that on purpose? These are signs you're too polite because we are living in right now, I believe.
Who's the most polite person in the room?
Too polite of a society.
Brad.
Who's the most polite person in the room? Really, though? Brad? I think it's you.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I think Ethan's the nicest. Not necessarily the most polite.
Not the
polite.
Most polite. Who's the most polite?
I just said.
Brad and I are probably both pretty polite, but we can also be really direct if necessary. So.
Mm-hmm. And I cannot. Therefore, I'm the most polite.
You are the least polite.
That might just mean you're soft.
And pudgy.
It's okay. I told him he was ugly the other day.
I think we've just eliminated Ethan from the conversation.
Yeah. I never voted myself.
That's all right. As a polite person, you surely wouldn't.
You're a little soft and pudgy around the middle there during my segment. Thank you. All right. Let's go through these and see if you are any of them. Constantly complimenting other people's appearance.
Is that polite?
if you're doing it, it's too polite.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, no, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do
did
that.
Did I mention you look really good today?
That's not
you said the exact opposite of that.
Well, what did you say to him?
I told him he was ugly.
No, you didn't. You told me he looked like a piece of crap, but you didn't say crap. You said the foul language.
Yeah, no, I did not say that. You looked like that. I said you are that.
I've probably heard Ryan, I've heard Ryan say colorful language before, but maybe in the time we've worked together, it's like less than 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it twice.
Both of them were directed at you as jokes.
Him.
As jokes. What did I say
jokes.
To you the other day?
I'm sure you felt
What's
that
up,
way.
You healthy piece of...
Yeah. That was the other day.
Boys are weird.
All right. Next one is holding eye contact for too long.
Yes. Well,
right?
Yeah.
It's weird.
As an introvert, all of these are going to make me uncomfortable.
I will be in conversation sometimes and be like, ooh, I think I'm holding eye contact too long. I need to look at something else.
Are you leaning in while you do it?
No. No, I'm leaning away.
Tell me more.
I'm about leaning away good. And holding eye contact.
Did I mention you
it's
look
bizarre.
Really good today?
Stare.
Using too many superlatives. I disagree with this one. I like superlatives. And when people use them, I get fabulously excited.
That's not a superlative. Wow. That's just an
It's an adjective.
Well, it's still superlative adverb.
It's a what?
It actually says in the article, saying something is awesome or fantastic can be a nice compliment, but when everything is amazing or fabulous, then you've crossed the line from polite to irritating.
Hmm.
A superlative is the highest attainable level or degree of something. So I guess it doesn't have to be a something-est.
Right.
But you're just taking the comp, like, oh, you look nice today. That's the best you've ever looked. That dress is just banging.
Well, no,
it's
true,
though. That's what I said to Ryan yesterday.
If you, because I was wearing my dress. If you say
Don't
constantly
say it like
somebody,
you only have one.
I was wearing my dress. That's
dress
my dress.
With
the
hat.
Dress.
Yeah, I was wearing the dress.
The
it
dress.
It was a Monday.
But not, with
not
the hat.
One of your dresses,
because,
but white.
The dress.
It was, to answer all of your questions at once, it was the actual Monica Lewinsky dress. Okay, can we move on? Mm-hmm. Using too many superlatives can be annoying because if you're always telling somebody they look amazing, do they ever actually look amazing, or are you just saying it?
Can you be introverted and do that one?
Nice.
No, like do the superlative one. I feel like that's like solely an extroverted thing.
I'll tell you what. No offense, salesman. These are all things that good salesmen go up to the right up to the line of these things. Bad salesmen just blast right past the line that is being drawn by this list. And I have had the opportunity to work with some of our clients directly that we have with this show and talk to them. And I'm not the sales guy. I have something of value here, and I believe in it, and I stand by it, and I think you should too. And that's pretty much it. And if they're like, that's why I'm bad. I don't know. I'm not bad. I'm not good though. It's like, do you want it or not? It's a sales pitch.
Is that what you walk into the door and say?
It's what I walk into the door trying so hard not to say.
You want it or not?
Don't even. Just move along, son.
Oh.
I'll tell you what, though. We are the opposite on this. Because if somebody does this to me, if somebody does the big superlatives to me, hey, what's up, big guy? Whoa, watch where you're swinging that chiseled jaw. I'm like... I'm buying it.
What are you selling?
Yeah, what are you selling? I'll take the encyclopedia set, my friend. Give me it. All right. The next one is apologizing for every little thing.
Super annoying.
It gets there. You know where somebody's heart's coming from, but if they're constantly doing it.
They're not apologizing because they are sorry because they did something wrong. They're insecure.
Yeah.
Be secure. Be strong. Be confident. Mm-hmm. And if you do something wrong and you say you're sorry, people understand you mean it.
Speaking... as someone that used to do this, you took the words out of my mouth. Totally insecurity.
You were an apologizer?
Yes. Like growing up, like in...
I'm sorry.
Middle school, early high school, like a lot of anxiety, a lot of apologizing.
I have a girl on our... I've coached her on several teams, and she apologizes all the time. And I correct her all the time. I'm like she'll, if she makes a mistake in practice, she's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, what are you sorry for? And she'll, I've got her to the point now where she does that. Instead of saying, I'm sorry, she's like, I'm not sorry.
Stop apologizing.
Yeah,
did it on purpose. I'm sorry for saying I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying so hard for these young girls to understand a level of confidence that doesn't mean arrogance, but to know that if you make a mistake because you're trying to do something and you're learning it, why would you be like, you're not in trouble. You're not sorry. So now it's, I'm not sorry.
Yeah, there's a guy at my church that he constantly, he's a smart guy, but he always says, I'm real into apologetics. I'm an apologist. And I'm like, dude, get over it.
Super nerdy joke.
Yeah.
We don't have time for those stupid jokes.
You don't? What about being ultra PC?
Well.
I love that that's even on this list, though.
Yeah, from Reader's Digest?
Yeah, from Reader's Digest. It says, many people think being polite is never offending anyone ever. So
we disagree.
Hey, welcome to your first day on 97.1, listeners.
But
we,
you know,
don't
why?
Care.
Because people who are overtly PC like that for the sake of being PC are doing it for themselves, mm-hmm. not the people that they're, air quotes, trying to be compassionate towards. They're actually using those people to make themselves feel better. Bad. Don't
that's,
like it.
That's pretty much exactly what this says. That you're doing it for yourself. You're really just trying to read the room and be the least offensive anything you could possibly be. You don't really believe in those things.
And it's not genuine.
You're just doing it because that's what people have told you is the polite thing to do.
I'm sorry.
Boring.
Yeah, you're boring. Quit being PC. That's why I like Bill Maher. He's not politically correct. He has a show that says he's not politically correct.
Okay.
Anything else to add?
I'm looking at the clock going, I can't get more of these
Finish
in.
Finish with a flurry.
Jim
Ryan.
Carafano and Joy Murdock in the 1 o'clock hour, and we'll maybe consider letting Ryan Wiggins come back in studio as well. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
All right. Are you sorry for that segment?
Yeah.
Well, read a little bit more.